Todd Monken's press conference beginning shortly here on The Fan. They always say 12:50, you know, and the Browns are pretty timely. Every once in a while, Todd might go a little bit early. But press conferences on 92 through The Fan are brought to us by Expert Renovations, expertrenovationsllc.com. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over here is Andy Baskin. What do you think Todd's going to say about the quarterback situation today? Because you know he'll be asked about.
What's left?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
I guess you would say.
What's the follow-up?
So for today, the follow-up would be about your backup quarterbacks, right? Because they're both going to see action on Thursday. So I guess you're asking Gabriel questions today. Today's the day for that. And by the way, isn't Gabriel going to talk if he's a starting quarterback? You would think at some point he would talk because he's a starting quarterback on Thursday. Don't you think?
Well, they're not having media tomorrow.
Oh, so, well, maybe he'll talk today then.
So,
unless he already has.
Yeah, maybe he did talk today.
He has not.
Okay, well.
All right.
So,
you're throwing that out the window.
All right, sorry for.
Had my hopes all up, Andy.
Typical protocol.
Aren't you curious to see Taylen Green play?
Yeah, very much so.
I am too.
I want to watch it. I don't have any.
Aspirations. He's going to be great. I just want to see it. I've loved watching his tape from Arkansas. He's a very intriguing football player. But can you translate? You know, can you translate that to the NFL? There's the question right there. Monken has spoken glowingly about the kid. Said he likes him, loves his attitude, really, really smart.
Yeah.
This is the kind of guy that, Andy, you turn into a project and hope you can develop long term. You know, think Matt Hasselbeck, right? Green Bay drafts him, turned him into a starting quarterback, and ended up doing a nice job for Seattle for years.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, though, is that someone's going to, like, they'll have a Andy Baskin moment where we have training camp heroes, right? Like, who's the training camp hero this year? I say that giving you the name you know that I'm going to say, right?
You mean your guy Luke Florio?
Yeah, he's the training camp hero. And what's going to happen is someone's going to have a really good game on Thursday, and you're going to be like, that guy should be on the team. Why isn't that guy on the team? And then when Sunday night rolls around and they get cut, you're like, I can't believe they cut that guy. Why did they do that? And then you look on Tuesday or Wednesday after they've cleared waivers, you're like, oh, good, they're on the practice squad. Right? Everybody does it.
Yeah.
Who's your training camp hero?
I will always remember years ago, it's been many years, there was a wide receiver who led the NFL in receiving in the preseason, and he looked really good with the Raiders. His name was Kenny Shedd. Shedd, Kenny Shedd.
The Buttermaker,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, people were pumped about Kenny Shedd. He's getting drafted in fantasy leagues and everything else, and then nothing. So just keep in mind what preseason games mean.
Speaking of fantasy, just for one second here, did ESPN just start a fantasy football Hall of Fame? Did you guys see that?
No.
I swear I was just reading that yesterday, and I'm like, oh, my God, talk about just making up material. A fantasy football Hall of Fame.
I know you're not a big fan. It's people just eat it up, Andy.
I'll play. I do it.
You do it just to be social.
Yeah, I'm kind of a mediocre guy at it sometimes because I just. And my biggest problem
is. You mean in a good year?
Oh, look at you. nothing worse than cocky. Fantasy football guy, right?
Is that getting worse? I know how you are.
ESPN Fantasy Football Hall of Fame inducts its first two. Its first two players got inducted into the Fantasy Hall of Fame.
Is Steve Urbinowitz there?
No.
Come on, tell me it's Steve.
His cousin, Jackie Lebowski's in. No.
Joe Flabeats?
Here is... No. Class of 2026 inductees on the players' wing... Randy Moss. Congratulations, Randy Moss.
That's wonderful.
In the moments wing, Jamal Charles for week 15 in 2013.
He almost had
60 fantasy points. Congratulations.
So they're not putting in Steve Urbinowitz. They're actually putting in, like, great moments of players.
Yeah, it's actual things that happen, yeah. Like, players that... It gave great fantasy numbers over the years.
Oh, that's really nice.
And then guys that had like great fantasy weeks. Peyton Hillis has got to be in there for 1 week, right? 1 or 2 weeks, somewhere along the line. I'm sure he was like a magical fantasy football player for a
whole year.
He was good for a year.
It was like
put him on the cover of Madden.
That was like the year I added Kareem Garcia to my rotisserie team for the second half of the season. Oh, was that smart?
You're talking about a buddy there. Why are you doing that?
No, it's because he had one of the greatest second halves in baseball history. And I just thought of him off the top of my head.
That's well, there you go. That's outstanding.
I mean,
news.
Seriously, could you imagine if they put real people in the Fantasy Football Hall of Fame? Oh, that's great.
Well, that's what I was wondering if you were meaning.
No.
That's what you meant.
No. The Fantasy Football Hall of Fame, it's got its own logo, too. They made a logo for it.
Is it just a phone through a television?
Hello.
Probably what's what it is. Hey, let's keep laying off, guys, and we'll create another Fantasy Hall of Fame. Let's do that.
Scott Smith from Ottumwa, Iowa. And I'm in, baby.
In week two, I started Quinshon Judkins. And it was this key play on fourth down in the second quarter where he picked up a yard and a half.
Are you concerned about the Browns' defensive end?
Week three, I picked
up. Am I worried
up my
about
cap?
Defensive end? Yeah, they don't have a lot of depth there, but I trust me. I'm worried. He did a hard turn there, by the way.
I did. I did.
Am I worried about it?
TV.
I felt the train not just going off the tracks. We were falling off a bridge.
Oh, that's
so
okay.
I thought, let's reel this baby back in.
Oh, it reminds me of driving on the Pacific Coast Highway just 3 weeks ago with a young man. We let the young man drive. The person with the least amount of experience driving.
But the best reflexes.
On one of the scariest highways in America.
Well, you made that call.
And it was awesome.
The hell were you thinking?
It was totally worth it. All right, let me get us back. I mean, think about it. You're only a foot away from falling into the ocean with no guardrails.
And that has to do
or into
what,
the Redwood
with the Browns'
forest.
Defensive end situation.
So going back to Jeff, I hate when you derail me like that because I'm very buttoned up on these conversations. What I'm saying to you is that they don't have a whole lot of depth there. And so that's the big concern. And you lost one of your starters for the entire season.
You need somebody else to actually step up and be good now as a starter. Can Isaiah McGuire be the guy? I think he might be able to be. But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they make a trade before the season starts. I know they brought in Derek Barnett, who's got a track record. But Derek fills that role that they were trying to get Jadeveon Clowney to fill. You know, all the other Zadarius Smith.
Jeff, you did catch. Now, this was interesting. You caught it, and I was listening to you. And when Todd Monken said last week about Mike Hall playing the outside. And it was like a two-second thing that he said in the middle of a conversation, and no one thought about it. So then, during the pregame show on the Browns Network, I asked Nathan about it, and I asked Tyvus about it. And they're like, nah, there's no way. He's not going to be playing. And then, boom, what happened on Saturday?
Lined up at defensive end and got a sack.
Yeah, and so that happens, and then all of a sudden, Todd's talking about him again after the game.
Yeah.
Forget about all the stuff that made all the headlines. You know, moving Mike Hall over became one. Now, I don't know, does he have to reshape his body maybe a little bit to get to the end spot? But he's been fast.
Good question.
I don't think he has to reshape anything. He's able to get there, and it's awesome. He gets out there on the edge, and he plays football. He gets after the quarterback. He does what we need him to. That's a Brown. That's what Cleveland Browns do.
Is that Browns on Browns?
Love.
Oh, no, that's Browns pulverizing Browns, baby. We are here to pulverize.
It's way better. It's way
it's,
better.
It's even
way
better,
better than Kevigan.
Well, and Kevigan was great. Monkigan.
No, I got to tell you, after the years of Kevigan, which I think were rock solid good. I don't know. What are we calling this?
Coach Monkigan.
We put him on the edge. We pin his ears back and tell him to go kick ass.
You need to beep yourself a couple times, too. How about, you know, the other thing that we missed from Saturday about him, too, was how honest he was about the second half. I mean, he had to get beat like four times.
He was distraught.
He was brutally honest about the second half of that game.
Can't jump offsides.
And by the way, he was right.
Oh, he was right.
He was right about it. That's why I think fans were going to like him. Or if you don't, I mean, if you're mad at him about the quarterback thing, forget about it. Just listen to his press conferences. It's gold. It's cool. I think Menigan's even starting to like his press conferences a little bit.
I think he is, too.
He's got a curse last, and then I'll like him.
Dan's looking for material.
If we ran this bad boy exclusively on the YouTube, I'd be all in. Then I wouldn't have to bleep that darn thing.
By the way, press conferences on the Fan brought to us by Expert Renovations, expertrenovationsllc.com, and Todd Monken coming up momentarily. He's already said he's talked to Mike Vrabel about starters. Nobody's playing them. So
yeah,
we roll out these guys and we see what we get.
I don't know. Do we have a will they run a highlight reel for Vrabes on the sidelines and in the booth for when he was coaching here? Do we do one of those?
I don't think that's
happening. This isn't the NBA.
Oh, should it be just him doing offensive line drills?
Yes.
I was going to say that's what he did here.
They probably don't have enough video. They would just put a couple still frame pictures up there of what he did while he was here. And then the whole crowd would be, "We wanted you so bad to be our head coach."
I called every sports talk radio show and told them how we should have kept you.
Why did we let Vrabel leave the building? By the way, for him, probably would have been a good thing if he would have stayed here, because maybe he wouldn't have had some of the issues that he had this offseason.
Oh, I think those issues would have taken place no matter what. I don't think that was location-based.
It's all time zone.
According to calendars, they took place long before that.
See, yeah, so if he would have stayed here, everything would have been fine. ESPN hiring anytime soon? Sorry.
Wow.
Too soon?
Neither's The Athletic.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Just want to throw that out there for you, Andy.
Yeah, well, you know.
Want to throw that one out there for
might
you.
Might as well get your media companies right. That's correct.
What if both quarterbacks go out and look really fun? I'm not even going to say good, because we know they're not going to start, and we know they're not even going to be the backup. I just so want Gabriel to go out and look efficient and good and throw the ball downfield a little bit. Because he didn't get the chance to throw it downfield with Kevin very much. And last game, he only threw one pass. They didn't let him throw. And then I want just turn Taylen Green loose, man. Let's see what you have at this point in his career. You know?
I know. I want to see what they look like. I think it's going to be fun. I don't think there's any... I can't drop any Mensa wisdom on you for what I think how these guys are going to look and when they play, but... you get an opportunity to watch them play. They probably are both going to look pretty decent. Although you got to ask yourself, what are the Browns going to look like? Because they've got other guys out there too.
In the first two preseason games, we looked at the quarterbacks and we thought, all right, let's pay attention because this could decide who's the starting quarterback. And we were watching, watching Shadur and watching Deshaun very critically. In this game, I think people are going to just be looking like, come on, guys, what do you got? Let's see it. Light that baby up. Let's go.
Gentlemen, we now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Todd Monken.
So many of, with the starters and a lot of the regulars not playing, do you sort of treat today as just a regular practice compared to maybe how you might have if, you were 2 days out from a
For game? Sure. Today will just be a regular practice for our guys. Not really preparing for Thursday night. We'll get to that tomorrow. Not that we're not repping concepts that we expect to run in the game, and we are. But it's really getting our guys that, that are ones and we know are going to be on the roster getting the work.
Todd, how much weight do you put in this game versus, we talk so much about body work with quarterbacks, but just with the whole roster and the decisions you have to make with this game and just sort of the body of work?
It's a piece. It's all a piece. I mean, every single day in the building and on the practice field is a piece. The games that we play are a piece. How much you weigh them? Up for debate, depending on what you see or don't see or who it's against. All of that is a part of it. I mean, it just is. And so then you got to weigh it and take the information and make the best decision you can.
You explained why you're not playing the starters after your discussion with Vrabel. But why aren't you playing Shador?
We're not playing him because we'd like to see Dylan Moore. Worked out last game. That was unfair to him. Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, to see more of him and yet see Taylen, there's just not enough reps. That's the reason. There's really nothing else. Just trying to see Taylen after he played pretty well in the limited reps he had against the Bills. And we want to see more of Dylan. And it just hasn't worked out trying to get those other guys reps. That's the reason.
When you talk about Taylen and you talk about how smart he is, and I know he's had very, very limited reps, but do you still think that there could be a world in which you can use him in some of those special situations, maybe not right away, but...
I don't know that yet. It's just been so limited at practice. We've just dedicated so many of the reps to Shadur and Deshaun. It's really limited their opportunities. Dylan and Taylen, and yet they've handled it great. Both prepare like they're pros, like they should. And And so I'm just excited to see them play because, again, they don't get nearly as many reps in practice. So their opportunity to get out there and play will weigh heavily in where we look at the roster moving forward.
Will they, Dylan and or Talon, get any team reps today? You know, didn't look like they got any yesterday.
I don't anticipate them getting many team reps today.
So then, it's just from their perspective, how challenging is that then to go into Thursday night, get a bunch of reps when you have practice? Kind of like being a backup quarterback.
No, it's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, and even if you're the backup quarterback, you would hope like heck that you got the reps other than if someone got hurt. Then you'd have to go in on game day. But that's just the choice we made was, all right, what do we want to do? Let's get the guys that we know we want to watch in practice and get them the reps.
Talon mentioned that he's been Dirk Cutter, he's one of his assistant coaches, somewhere along
there. At Boise. He was at Boise.
Your old boss.
Mm-hmm.
So did that give him a little jump start on what you're doing here?
Some of that. There are pieces of what we do offensively that go all the way back to that. Some concepts, I'm sure. But I'm sure over the course of time we've changed a little bit. Do I think there's some comfort there in that knowing how he's wired and Talon able to talk to coach about me? I think that helps from us in terms of our relationship, yes. More maybe of that than schematically.
What do you say to Talon is getting ready for his first NFL game?
Man, isn't this cool? I mean, isn't it everything you dreamed about that the majority of us don't get to do, to put the helmet on? Forget you didn't practice, right, and you're a Cleveland Brown, but heck, you got drafted, right? So you got your name called, and this is just that next step, right? Like, it just is really cool. Like the whole thing with Luke, right, with the touchdown. I asked him the other day at practice, I'm like, did you get the ball at least? Did you at least keep it? He's like, no, I forgot. But Tylan Wallace got it for me. So Tylan was cool enough to go and get it from the official and give it to him. And you forget those really cool stories or moments that only very few people get to live. As much as I've, and most of us have dedicated our lives to this sport, to be able to play, you know, in an NFL game is really freaking cool.
I'll
call it Thursday. Yep.
Todd, we talked to Malik Collins today, and he mentioned how much pride he takes in his leadership. I don't know if you've gotten to see a lot of that at this point, but how important is it to have a guy like that on a team, especially a team like this that's so young?
Well, I'll just speak to this. I think I said it the other day, like, what an unbelievable job of the off season of what he did from afar because of his family was not here for the majority of the off season, being in Houston, which in most cases is not ideal, right? In most cases, I think your medical people and your coaches would say, we want our players to be here. So that takes diligence. That takes being a pro. That means an everyday approach. And it, where he's at in his career, it's not easy. He's not a young player. He's made enough money to probably be okay. Says a lot about him. Like I said, he came back, you know, when we started camp, and I'm like, man, I think he's ready to go right now. So that's a lot to say about him. And you could see that yesterday in practice, how the guys rallied around having him out there in the individual period, which I showed today in the team meeting. I mean, that tells you how they think about him. It tells you what they think.
So is there a brewing competition? Is there an uncertainty about who your QB3 is going into the season?
I wouldn't say that. We just want to see them. I wouldn't say there's uncertainty, but I do think we want to see both of them, and it's unfair to judge Dylan based on basically what happened last game for sure.
Todd, to go back to Malik, just along those lines, I mean, when we were talking to him today, he talked about even though he had such good production last year, like he felt like there were things he could have done better rushing-wise. I mean, just to hear a veteran say that and always kind of finding those things, how helpful is that with how many young guys you have around him?
No, he's wired the right way. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, just, and those guys know it. So it's been impressive.
Todd, you mentioned yesterday the long game with Shador. How could the setup now, where it'll be a longer run up to whenever he plays next in a regular season game, maybe set him up for better success than as opposed to throwing him out to the wolves on the road and like that?
Well, I don't know that. Every player's a little bit different. You've seen quarterbacks go in there and right away play well. And you've seen others that need some time. And that's at every position. Some, it happens quicker than others. Some had further to go. I know this, that from the jump in the offseason when he showed some things that I really liked, the way he's wired, that's when we made the decision to give him more reps. That's when we decided to make it a competition for Shador and for us. That was the point of it all, to get where he's at today. Because early on, in my opinion, it was pretty obvious that Deshaun was ahead. His experience, right? He should be. Right? There's no difference there. But we made that decision, and where he's at today is a byproduct of that. And I'm excited about, again, the long game for him. There's certain things he has to continue to work on, and he's going to just continue to grow leaps and bounds because he's a sponge, takes it all in. He really does. And so I just think that it's a matter of time before we get a chance to see that.
Is the number one offensive line set we saw Thursday, Kevin?
I anticipate that would be our set offensive line, yes.
Todd, I know the team waived Daquan Wright on Monday, but I was just kind of curious from your perspective. Like, when did you come aware that he might be moving?
Well,
did you see Lane Kiffin's contract?
I did. Okay. First off, I should not. One of our staff had said, that's when I said us, not me, okay? I said that Lane Kiffin, or one of our staff had said that they'd gotten a text. I should have followed through with it. Maybe they meant someone from their staff, right? That's on me. Should not throw someone's name out there without what? Following through with it, right? I was just making light of it. I was really not trying to make a big thing of it. It was just like, man, what this world we've come to. And I shouldn't have thrown that out there, right? Like, to me, hey, I can't control this, right? I was just, it was almost silliness and goofiness, like, really? This is what we've come to, where guys can be here and go back to college? It's really not a big deal, other than I probably shouldn't have without knowing for sure, you know? So it is what it is.
You are listening to WKRK FM and HD1 Cleveland Heights, Cleveland.
How the hell would I know? I mean, I've never had to deal with it. Like, who's had to deal with, like, oh, and that happens. It happens in college with everybody. Like, they catch word of something, right? You have players on your own team. You're like catching word from so-and-so that he might be entering the portal. It's just word of mouth. They're not going to come to you. It's not like you're going to step up. Hey, you know what? I'm thinking about going back to college. No. So it was a weird situation. He got hurt. He's going back to college. It is what it is. Good luck to him. He's a good kid. And they're going to do a great job at LSU. That's what they should do. Their job is to get the best players they can to win games. I'm not mad at anybody. I was actually, like I said, shouldn't have, like, taken what I'd heard and ran with it.
Todd, Parker, how concerned are you about, him getting out, getting the reps he might need to, be ready for the regular season?
Well, we'll see. You know, just when he gets out there and get a chance, it's we'll just have to see.
Todd, yesterday it looked like
last one here.
Denzel Boston was going up against Denzel Ward a number of times. Just how valuable is that work for both guys, but particularly the rookie?
No, it's, you come to find out that there's a difference, right? Like, Denzel's missed a little bit of time, so has Tyson. We haven't played teams as of yet that have played their top corners, right? So there is a difference, right? I mean, there's millionaires and there's thousandaires, right? And those guys out there that are really good, they're multi-millionaires and they're paid to cover. And that's how you develop, right? Going up against the best and yet having other opportunities to build your confidence, right? There's a combination of that. You want to have some success, right, to help build your confidence, but then you got to see where you're at, right, with any position, right? That's the way it is. And so I'm always excited to see our guys go against it because it gives you a little bit of an insight as to where they're at this point. All right. Thank you.
It's Todd Monken. Honest as a day is long.
Love it. I'll double down on what he said about Lane Kiffin. It was a joke. I mean, he was kidding.
He was kidding.
He was 100% kidding when he was in that press conference.
And if you're missing what that was all about. The tight end who was with the Browns, who they waived when it's going to LSU, where Kiffin is the head coach, Todd said last week. He said, I got a phone call from Lane Kiffin. Guess I should have called him back. And Todd was, you could tell he was kind of kidding at the time. And Kiffin yesterday came out and said, I never called Todd Monken, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, didn't want to get anybody in hot water there. So Todd just saying, you know, maybe it was his staff, whatever. He said, I was making a joke.
It was a completely a joke.
Yeah.
And I think we were all...
The situation's just weird.
It was real. His initial reaction to it was hysterical. Like, he might as well have been a comedian, stand-up comedian at that point, because, I mean, I said it today at the beginning of the show. How outrageous is it that a guy has been on two NFL teams and is now going back to college? So if you go back and look at it, when he finally does land with LSU, he will have been on four teams in the last 10 months, starting with Mississippi, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Browns, and now LSU. Like, that is a path that has never been cleared out before, and a lot of people find it comical. You know, it's like
Todd does.
So why do you play college football in the first place? If you think you're good, you want to make a career out of it so you can make more money and go to the NFL. Well, here's a player with an opportunity to go to the NFL. Now, he's got to work a little bit harder because he's a free agent, but you're like, huh? What's going on? Now he wants to go back, and because he has the opportunity. And there's only, you know, because of what's going on with the courts, there's only a couple states where you can actually do that now, because first the class of 2022 could go back to school, and now all of a sudden, like in some states you can't, but in some states you can, and Louisiana is one of those states that you can, and it's wildly
weird,
entertaining,
yeah,
and yet really weird, because the end goal used to always be the NFL, and now the fact that you can make way more money in college than you could as a, you know,
as an end of the roster guy,
yeah. Man. So it's like, okay, I understand why he's doing it. I don't have a problem with that, but it's just no one on this planet has ever seen anything like this before.
I like Todd's talk about the quarterbacks for the game on Thursday. We want to see more Dylan.
And by the way, if you were thinking Shedeur Sanders could be in the same, he can't. He's class of 21, just so you know.
And he's already actually played in the NFL.
Well, so here's the question. What if he would have stepped on the field Saturday? Would that make a difference? No. They still would have released him.
It's a preseason game. They don't count.
Yeah, I got to tell you, playing for tape. Tell him, Coach, every game counts. Every snap counts.
You put those pads on it, you put those helmets on it, you get the hell out there, that's what matters.
Even stretching counts, doesn't it, Coach?
Damn right.
Even, you know, because imagine how much more of a win we would have had at Normandy, right?
All right, Andy.
Right?
Calling for drops.
Yeah, now he's just begging for drops.
Now he's just begging for drops.
Plus the fun.
Where's Bob Wiley when you need him?
I don't know, but did you see the movie Pressure? It's really good. It's about Normandy. It's pretty awesome. We had better meteorologists.
I've heard it's good.
That's what Eisenhower said. That's why we had better meteorologists.
I'll have to go.
You have to watch it. It's good. It's really good.
What do you?
I enjoyed it.
I because the Browns quarterback situation is as what's the best word to describe it right now?
The quarterback situation?
Because it's as...
convoluted?
There, perfect word. Because it's as convoluted as it is. Aren't you anxious to see Dylan Gabriel where he has a chance to prep and be the main guy and go after even second, third, fourth stringers of another team? I want to see it. And I want to see Taylor Green.
Okay, so let me ask the average fan. Would you rather see Dylan Gabriel or watch any given game on Saturday where you think that college quarterback is going to be your starting quarterback next year? What do you want to watch?
Well, in this case, I'd rather watch our team, because Dylan Gabriel just might end up taking the field for this team this year.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to be the quarterback of the future. Like, I almost think that someone
Any of these guys is going to be the quarterback of the future.
I give Dylan Gabriel credit because, man, if I got anywhere near a microphone, it'd be hard not to tell you how he probably really feels. I mean, here's a guy that's had success all the way through his career.
Big success.
And then he came here, and he got handed the ball. And people wondered why the fifth-round pick was more popular than the third-round pick. But the third-round pick would have been popular had they not selected another quarterback in the fifth round.
That's exactly right.
And we'd be going, I don't know, man, he's just not big enough. And then we would all be going back and saying, well, look at Tua. And look at all the other quarterbacks that are under 6 foot.
Tua is actually bigger than Dylan.
I just randomly picked somebody who's not gigantic at quarterback.
That's
who's
fair.
Not
That's
Ben
fair.
Roethlisberger.
That's fair.
And so You know, that and then we would be making excuses for him. Absolutely. We absolutely would be making excuses. Well, you know, they drafted him in the third round. Don't you want to see what he looks like? And but the problem was they drafted another quarterback in the fifth. I don't care who it is. It didn't make sense then. It doesn't make sense today. And folks, it's not going to make sense tomorrow.
That's fair. But I want to see him.
They created their own drama by selecting. Again, I know that there's a lot of Shador fans, right? So I'm not questioning. The point isn't about Shador. The point is about drafting a quarterback in the third round and then drafting another one in the fifth round. You have just cut the legs out from the guy in the third round.
Well, and it's, let me take it a step further. It's about drafting two quarterbacks past the round where you think you draft a quarterback who's going to be anything long term.
Oh, Tom Brady.
Okay, well, Tom Brady. Yeah, I know. Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, I mean, there's
Brock Purdy.
Your percentage odds of being a starter quarterback
significantly
once you leave that second round, right?
Once you leave the first, you know, second, you got a chance.
A chance, but you
third round.
Well, you know what they call third rounders? Career backups.
Well, yeah.
If they're lucky.
Yeah. I mean, how many Russell Wilsons are there? Not very many.
Let me check. One.
Not very many.
They made this drama. They did. The front office made the drama when they decided they wanted to bring in two quarterbacks last year. And now, by the way, you're starting Deshaun, as we said in the first segment of the show. Now you have two draft picks that you had from last year that are sitting on the bench. Two quarterbacks, two draft picks above the sixth round. That's not good. And you're rolling the dice that all the other draft picks are good? Yeah, those higher draft picks have been good, and that's a great change of pace for what we've seen throughout Andrew Berry's career, going back to last year. But then someone goes, I wonder how much influence Paul DePodesta had. Mm-hmm.
Ken's in Youngstown. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
How you doing? Hey, I try to listen to all the shows. I'm not sure if this has been touched on a lot, but kind of an angle on the Watson thing that maybe hasn't been talked about a lot.
Let's hear it.
I think the defense is going to be a bigger letdown than anybody imagined, and I think that's going to compound Watson's problem because they are going to be playing from behind, and he's horrible. And now he's going to be forced to throw. We got serious issues. You got one stud on the defensive line. And the deal with Graham, you know, I know it's his first year, but, you know, rookies like Fannin, the linebacker, Junkins, nobody had to kind of say, like, well, it doesn't show up in the stats, but they're really good players. I mean, again, it's only his first year, but I'm not real confident that he's a quality first-round pick. There's a bunch of guys on the line, and, you know, we do have some good linebackers. Secondary is extremely thin. I mean, our starters are top-notch, but beyond that, when guys go 3, 4, 5 wide, we're going to be in horrible trouble. So my prediction is the defense is not going to be anywhere as good as anybody thinks. Browns are going to be from behind, and it's just going to be a dumpster fire for Watson.
Well, that's a cheery call, Ken. Thank you very much. That is an issue. If this offense gets behind and has to throw the ball, Andy, you got to wonder a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, I don't want to think about it. I'm going to be honest with you.
All right. Well, we won't. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.